This is Charlottesville Insights with Jeff Gaffney, supported by Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3, and welcome to this week's episode of Charlottesville Insights. And on this program, we'd love to talk about real estate and the quality of life in Central Virginia. You can check us out on the web at realestate3.com, or please visit our Facebook fan page, Charlottesville Insights. And you can also follow me on Twitter. At Jeff Gaffney is my Twitter handle, and I'm sending out lots of useful real estate information throughout the week. Well, today's show is brought to you in part by our good friends over at Movement Mortgage. Check out their website today at movementmortgage.com and get yourself pre-approved and get yourself in position to buy a home at the end of this year or as we roll into 2015. Well, today is another big Sunday in the real estate market. To shop for your new home, you can check out the Daily Progress, where Real Estate 3 has a full-page ad with photos and directions to homes for sale and open houses. And, of course, you can always check realestate3.com anytime to find your dream home. Well, today on the show, we have back with us Bill Tucker. Bill is one of the premier real estate attorneys in the greater Charlottesville area. We'll chat with Bill about all things real estate. But before we do that, here's a quick look at this week's real estate headlines. A couple of articles that we'll talk about on the show today. Number one, so you think you can be a landlord, seven things to consider. We'll kind of walk through those seven things and see what Bill Tucker thinks about that. From foxbusiness.com, article came out this week, renting is now half as affordable as buying in the U.S. Talk about that a little bit later. Third article that came out, Fannie Mae now has loans. They're now backing loans with a 3% down payment, so they're now financing 97% of a purchase. That's new this week. Fourth article, two more. Fourth article from Zillow, mortgage rates hold steady at 3.75%. I love that number, below 4%. And the last article, all these are posted on my Twitter feed, from the Housing Wire, is 2015 the year to buy or sell your home? Well, there's some interesting comments in there from the Realtor.com chief economist, Jonathan Smoke. We're going to talk about that. And all things real estate when we come back. We'll be meeting with Bill Tucker. This is Charlottesville Insights. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're going to take a break and be back in just one moment.
Hi, my name's Donna Patton. I'm a managing broker with Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. I've lived in Central Virginia all my life, been selling real estate for over 17 years. I know what it takes to get you the house you want. Visit me at DonnaSellsVirginia.com. Look for horse properties, residential, or land.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. Join us every Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for Charlottesville Insights. This is the best real estate market that we've seen in Central Virginia for 5 years.
Jeff Gaffney, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3.
This is really the first time that I can say in a long time that it's really a great time for sellers, but it's also a great time for buyers. We're starting to see a lot more new construction sales in the market today, and we're expecting that to continue, and we're starting to see an increase in demand for that new inventory.
Visit realestate3.com.
This is Jay Callagher, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Stonehouse. I am absolutely thrilled to be leading the sales and marketing efforts in Belvedere, as well as other exceptional new construction neighborhoods around town. For assistance with any residential and commercial needs in these or other great locations around town, please call me at 434-962-4613 or visit the Stonehouse website at stonehouse.net.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. Join us every Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for Charlottesville Insights.
This is Charlottesville Insights with Jeff Capney, supported by Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome back to Charlottesville Insights. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is Bill Tucker. Bill's back with us. And Bill, I want to hit you up on some of these news articles real quick. The first one is, so you think you can be a landlord, seven things to consider. And I want to get your opinion on these seven things to consider. I think they're all kind of commonsensical, but let's see what you think. If you're going to own rental property, the first item to consider is to live near your property.
Jeff, first of all, glad to be here, and thanks for having me on the show again. Well, if you're going to live near it to maintain it and manage it, that's probably a good thing. A lot of people don't have the luxury of doing that. They may move away and not be able to sell their property, mm-hmm. so they're going to have to hire a good management company to manage it for them. And there are a lot of good companies, and most of them are licensed. So you're going to have, they're bonded and they've got insurance. So
the benefit, though, you and I know, because you and I have both owned property through the years, if you live near it and you can keep an eye on it, you can keep things from getting out of control if things are to get out of control. You just keep an eye on it.
Well, as long as you keep an eye on it, but, you know, out of mind, out of sight.
Yes, yeah. But I do agree with you. If you have to leave the area, there's competent property management companies in town. Real Estate 3 has a property management company, and so you can hire away your worries on that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a good point.
But I think it's still tough to own rental property because you don't want to get that call at 3 o'clock at the evening. You know, my hot water heater's leaking.
And that's where having a property manager, sometimes you're paying these fees to your property manager and you're like, why am I paying these fees? But when he intercepts a call at 3 a.m., you understand fully well why you're paying the fee.
That's right.
Okay, the second thing that they said on this is that you should have a basic understanding of the landlord-tenant law. I guess, if you are going to be the landlord and try to do it yourself, you need to understand a little bit about deposits. You need to understand a little bit about, you know, what happens if somebody doesn't pay rent, what happens if the lease goes bad. You need to have a skeletal understanding of that, but that's where having a property manager can really help you, and also having a good attorney like you can help.
Well, sure. I appreciate the comment about the attorney. You know, before you actually want to learn about landlord-tenant law, you ought to know what your contract says, what that lease says, because that's what's going to be the overriding document. You know, what duties does the landlord have to maintain the property? What happens if the rent's not paid on time? So that contract, that lease, is really important. The landlord-tenant law obviously will override some of the terms in the lease, and it's important to know that. But I think learning the lease and knowing the contents is probably as important, if not more important.
Breeze through a couple of these. Make sure you can enforce the rent being paid on time. Sure. Here's one, though. Screen potential tenants. And the thing I make a note on here in screening the potential tenants, so important to do a credit check nowadays.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't rent to somebody who has bad credit, but you don't want to go into that blindly and not understand what their credit history and their payment history is. You need to understand that understand, because that's really where the basis of the risk is.
Yeah, but as an individual, it's harder to go get that credit score.
Yes.
And so that's a problem. Another thing I'd kind of add to that about the credit is if you know where the person lived last, maybe check with that landlord.
Yes.
Make sure they left under good reasons and not bad reasons.
And also very important to know where they work, and is their income projected to remain what it is on the application. The other item, number five, is customize the lease. And in this article that they were saying is there's two things that I try to include in any of my leases. I try to go for no pets, because pets tend to add an additional amount of wear and tear to a property. Cats can leave an odor, can really mess up some carpets. Dogs can make some, can really cause some damages. So pets in the lease, I always address that in mind. And then the other one that until you get burned on this, you don't understand it, but I always have no smoking in my leases. I usually have to handwrite that in, no smoke, no pets, no smoking, no waterbeds, believe it or not. That. I've learned that the hard way, too. When the waterbed leaks, you've got a big problem there.
Yeah. The no smoking, I'll echo that a lot. Matter of fact, I have several commercial properties, and in a lot of my leases on the commercial properties, I won't allow any smoking on premises or within so many feet of the front door.
Like that. Inspect the property regularly. Again, if you have a professional property manager, that's what they do. But here's probably the most important thing on rental property, and I'm a believer in rental property, is understand that it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, is that rental property is a way to build wealth, and over time, typically, the property is going to appreciate at the same time you are paying down the note. So as the owner, you get the spread there, which we call equity. And there are some tax advantages to it as well. But it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. The buy and flip, there's not that many opportunities for that in Charlottesville, my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're right. And another thing is you want to make sure when you're building that equity, you've had the property long enough, you want to make sure it's being maintained, because you may get the property back and all of a sudden you've built up $10,000 of equity, but you've got $15,000 of repairs to make.
Good point.
So there's a lot to owning rental properties. Another thing which isn't on the list is you want to consider as a landlord how you actually have that property titled. Is it titled in your individual name? Because you may have some liability as the individual owner. Sometimes you may want to consider setting up an entity like an LLC to own the real estate. And that way there's some insulation with your personal assets. Mm-hmm. Another thing, if you're going to own it in your individual name or even with an LLC, consider having an umbrella insurance policy.
Good point.
That gets you that additional liability insurance. So let's say there's a fire at the property and the tenant said, I've called the landlord a couple of times or I've called the property manager a couple of times and my lights are flickering and never got taken care of. Now there's a fire and a serious injury. Having that extra liability coverage for a landlord can be the difference in keeping all your assets or not.
We're talking with Bill Tucker, one of the area's premier real estate attorneys in Charlottesville. The topic is So You Want to Be a Landlord, and those are two very important topics that Bill Tucker just brought up. I want to emphasize those again. Number one, if you own rental property, you may want to consider putting them into an LLC, and at the end of the show, we'll give you Bill's contact number. If you need to know more about that, you can contact Bill directly. But number two is to have a pretty good size umbrella insurance policy on the property. And that you can get a lot of insurance for pretty cheap on an umbrella. So just about any of the local insurance carriers in town, you can walk in and they can hold your hand on that. Good advice, Mr. Tucker. Let's talk some more news. Let's talk about the impact of Fannie Mae dropping down to a 3% down payment. Is something that they announced in the last 30 days is that now you'll be able to see 97% loans. Of course, there are different loan products out there. There's also, we mentioned on this program, the USDA 100% loan that's available from time to time. But I think this is good news, and you and I know what is going on. There's a little easing in the lending environment that's happening. So in general, that's going to be good news.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to have some leniency there. The underwriting requirements, even if you're well qualified, you before had the 5% down for a government loan, or now 97%, 3% down. That's super, but you've had all these underwriting restrictions that just caused just complete havoc on trying to get a loan. So anything that can loosen some of that, I think, is going to be good for the marketplace.
Well, and how about the fourth article that we talked about, mortgage rates holding steady? You believe that number at 3.75%?
You know, Jeff, I do a seminar for Piedmont Housing for first-time buyers, and every time I'm in the seminar, I'm telling the buyers that, you know, this is a great time to be buying. Property values are down, and I always include that the interest rates are so low, but who would have ever thought that they would continue to stay as low as they have and to be down in the threes now? It's just it's a great time to buy.
As we talk about 2014, what are your memory points on 2014? When you look back on this year, what will you remember? What are your kind of takeaways of this year?
You know, I before the show, I did a little analysis. You know, what's our new closings look like? You know, we keep track of how many new files we open, and we're actually only down about 3% for the year, which I thought was pretty good because I thought it would be more. The good news for another part of my practice is, you know, I do a lot of short sale work where people are upside down and I help them sell their house and convince the bank to take less money. Those numbers are down tremendously, which means the marketplace is getting better. They're down about, I think by the end of the year, we'll have about 40% less new short sale clients than we did the year before, which I think is wonderful.
So it's less distressed property is cycling through the system for now.
Exactly. And values are coming up a little bit. So if you were only 20% upside down, now you may only be, you know, 10% upside down. So you're more likely going to keep your house.
What was the biggest year in your practice for short sales, roughly? There was probably a time there in 2009, 2010, and 2011.
Starting in 2012, we started to see a little bit of a reduction. Last year, I think the numbers were down 27% from the year before, but this year being down probably by the end of the year 40% just means the market's getting better.
Yeah, it's a good sign for a healthier market. Well, we're going to take a break in just a second, but I do want to get your take on, as we look at 2015 being the year to buy or sell real estate. But before we do that, I want to ask you the question. Before we take a break, I want to ask you the question, if somebody's thinking about selling their house right now, you know, we're getting pretty deep into the end of the year, put it on now or wait until the spring market? That's kind of a popular question that we get in our trade. Now, from your angle, from the legal side, what's your feel on that? Do you have a sense?
You know, not knowing the real estate side of it and the marketing side, from putting it on now, nothing's going to close by the end of the year at this point. So if I would look at it, are there any tax considerations, for example? Now, most of the time when you're selling your residence, there usually aren't tax considerations. But if it's an investment property, there may be. So obviously I'm advising people right now, if they've got something that's closing and we don't want the taxes to hit this year, and we think next year may not be as bad as this year or the same, maybe we delay a closing until the beginning of next year. In fact, I just had a commercial deal that the buyer wanted to close next week, and we came up with some reasons to close the first week in January, which helps the seller tremendously on taxes.
Defer some tax. That was the other thing that we didn't really talk about on rental property, but there are some advantages in terms of doing a 1031 tax exchange. When you go to sell a property, you can there's a way to sell the property and not pay taxes on the gain if you invest it in a like-type property.
It's called a 1031 tax-free exchange. Great vehicle to use. It doesn't have to be like-kind. In other words, you buy a duplex. You don't have to, if you sell a duplex, you don't have to buy a duplex. It only has to be an investment property. So you can actually buy raw land and count that as an investment. But the 1031s are great. Here's a little tidbit. I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody said our Republican Congress, and I'm in favor of it, one of the things they're talking about in tax reform is doing away with 1031s. Makes no sense.
Boy. We don't need any hits on the real estate market. That'll be interesting to follow that. This is Charlottesville Insights. We're going to take a break, and when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about, is 2015 the year to buy or sell real estate? We're talking with Bill Tucker. Please stay with us.
Jeff Gaffney, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Tree.
We really have a family culture. Our agents enjoy coming to work every day. They love Central Virginia and giving back to the community. And what better way than to help somebody call Central Virginia home? Check out our new website, realestate3.com. We just relaunched it recently, and there's all kinds of videos and great content for you.
Visit realestate3.com, realestate3.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Jensen, the manager for Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 329 North office. I've pretty much grown up here in the Charlottesville area and love Central Virginia. My son Chris works with me, and we enjoy helping people find the right home. We love it when the magic happens. You can reach us at charlottesvillelife.com or call 242-1554.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. Join us every Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for Charlottesville Insights.
Movement Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender. NMLS 39179. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.com. 877-314-1499. Movement Mortgage LLC is licensed by the Virginia Bureau of Financial Institutions, MC 5112. Borrowers must qualify at closing for all benefits. Movement Mortgage is a registered trademark of Movement Mortgage LLC, a Delaware limited liability company.
This is Charlottesville Insights with Jeff Gaffney, supported by Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
And welcome back to Charlottesville Insights. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today, we have Bill Tucker. Bill's one of the premier real estate attorneys in town. And Bill, we are talking now about the topic, is 2015 the year to buy or sell your home? Here's what the Realtor.com economist Jonathan Smoke states. He calls 2015 the year of recovery, and he has five reasons for that. Number one, lending is going to be easing a little bit. Number two, new home construction is, it looks like, is going to have a improved year. You see studies that talk about new home sales for 2015 anywhere from 12% to 25% pickup in new home sales for 2015. Mortgage rates are slated to still be low. Home prices continue to recover. But here's one of the things I really want to drill down on. He thinks that it's going to also be the year that millennials and first-time homebuyers really jump in the market. Now, let me set the stage on millennials. We talk about millennials a lot on this program. Millennials is the demographic age group from 18 to 32. It's the biggest American demographic, bigger even than the baby boomers. Now, a lot of them are coming out of college. We talk about this on the show a lot. They're coming out of college today with a lot of college debt. Coming out with a lot of college debt, and they're not getting the jobs that they were hoping to get. So they have higher debt and lower income, and that has created an environment where the millennials are not buying. They're renting for the most part. In some cases, they're going back home and living with mom and dad or even grandparents. But this Realtor.com economist, who's a pretty sharp guy, he thinks that 2015 will be the year that that changes. Do you, Bill Tucker, have any feel in your crystal ball on, do you think there'll be a change in millennials' buying habits?
Well, I would love to see that, because I think that's just a part of the market that we're not seeing. We're seeing the people stepping up and, mm-hmm. and buying up, or the retirees coming here. I would love to have that part of the market back again. You know, when you think about what the rent they pay if they're not living home with mom and dad, the rents are almost the same, if not more, than they may pay if they have an actual mortgage, given the fact that we talked about the 97% loans that are going to be available. And as you said, there are other programs for less money down. I think that would be wonderful if we could see them back in the market. Now, Whether it's going to happen, I hope so.
The other thing, one of the articles that we posted on our Twitter feed was that foxbusiness.com says in a lot of different areas around the country, and we're seeing it now in Charlottesville, renting is now half as affordable as buying it in the U.S. And in other words, what we're saying is that it's cheaper to own than rent in a lot of areas, and we're seeing that in Charlottesville in any of these nice newer apartment complexes in town. They are charging some serious rent. They're nice places to live. They're walkable. They're giving the millennials a lot of what they want. They're new, clean, again, walkable, which seems to be a big buzzword for the millennials, particularly having a place to walk to, like the downtown mall, or walk to the corner area. But be that as it may, it's more expensive to rent than own. And I think what you're going to see is a concerted effort by the realtor community to try to do some educating that if it looks like there's an opportunity for those folks to buy and own rather than rent, I think you're going to see the realtor community really try to reach out. Because, again, the thing we talk about, mortgage rates at 3.75%. Unbelievable opportunity. And now with Fannie Mae stepping up and saying they're going to finance 97%, you add those two together and that realtor.com economist might be on target.
Well, and again, think of the other things that those millennials have sat back and watched people lose their houses, watched values plummeting. Now if values are starting to come back,
yes,
and they're not seeing as many foreclosures and not as many scare stories, they'll start to say, you know, maybe real estate is still a good investment. And again, it's a long-term investment, but I'd rather be in my own house, paying my own mortgage, getting equity, hopefully getting tax deductions for paying interest.
Good point.
It makes sense to start to own real estate, and hopefully we won't see as many people being scared of owning real estate as the recovery continues.
Last topic. We want to go back to short sales because you are such an expert on short sales. But if any of our listeners are upside down, meaning their mortgage is greater than the value of their home and they can no longer afford the mortgage payment, what kind of advice in terms of getting started on potentially doing a short sale? Can you walk us through? We don't have much time left on this interview, but can you kind of walk us through your perspective on that?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people who are doing short sales now are not the people who lost their jobs. They're people who have to transfer for job reasons. They're people who got to get a bigger house or something or relocate, and they don't have the $50,000 that they're upside down. So what can they do but try to convince the bank that a short sale is in their best interest? So a lot of short sales take a little bit of a strategy to kind of figure out how do we demonstrate to the bank that we have that need to do a short sale. And again, most of the people we get calls from, I'm moving to Texas. The bank won't let me do a short sale because I don't have, I have the cash to pay, but I can't pay both places. And I'm upside down. What do I do?
And I'm shocked at what a difference from bank to bank there is in the attitude. Some banks just outright won't cooperate, is what I found. Other banks, though, are like, yes, tell us what your situation is. We'll work with you. There doesn't seem to be a uniformity there.
Well, I'll tell everybody, every short sale is uniquely different. And of course, you're dealing with banks who are servicing the loan, and they're getting instructions from the investor who's kind of complicating it. And I'll call the same bank with the same investor three times and get six different answers.
Bill Tucker, thanks for being on the show. I think 2015 is going to shape up to be a really good year for real estate. I think that this realtor.com economist, the way he put it, the reasons for optimism with the lending easing, new home construction looks like it's going to be going up, mortgage rates holding steady, home prices, and then what we're looking for, do the millennials jump in the market? Bill, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
Everybody have a great Sunday. We'll see you here next week for more Charlottesville Insights.